You're listening to the Growing Leaders Podcast. Welcome to this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast. We've got a very special episode today. John Maxwell is calling in, and he is going to join us, and Tim is going to get the privilege of interviewing him. Now, John Maxwell is the New York Times bestseller of several different leadership books. He is the founder of four different leadership companies. He's a great friend of Growing Leaders and also a mentor to Tim. Tim, he got to mentor you and lead you for many years. Why don't you take a second and share about that with us?
Absolutely, John. It's a privilege to have you with us today. I started on your staff in 1983. That's over 30 years ago. And I have had the undeserved privilege of having you, really in those early years especially, pouring into me as a 20-something, as a young leader myself. And I owe so much to you for what I do today. So thanks for joining us today on this podcast.
It's my joy, Tim. Great to be with you and Jim, and great to be obviously with your audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's try to help some people, huh?
Absolutely. John, I want to start with a general question first. You and I have spent years together developing leaders. Talk for a moment about why you chose to narrow your focus on leader development.
Well, it's in leader development that you compound everything. Mm-hmm. I've often said if you want to add, develop yourself. If you want to multiply, develop others. You compound time, influence, dollars, examples. Everything compounds when you begin to pour yourself into leaders, because leaders pour themselves into others. Yeah. Whenever you pour yourself into a leader, Tim, you know, it's not a dead-end street. Every leader has somebody that he or she is influencing, somebody that's following him. So when you pour yourself into a leader, it continues. If you pour yourself into a follower, it has a possibility, a strong possibility of stopping. So I committed myself many years ago to do something very simple. I want to add value to leaders who multiply value to others. That's who I am.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. John, I want to focus today on this book you did not long ago called Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn. By the way, I love the title, and I really enjoy the book. It's all about the value of loss and failure. Did you see something in our culture that drove you to, what drove you to write this book?
Well, first of all, I've felt for many, many years that the greatest growth in a person's life comes from difficulties, failures, challenges, not success. I think when we have success, there's a tendency for us to celebrate.
Yeah.
I think it's when we lose that it causes us to stop, reflect, say, what happened in my life? What do I need to change in my life? And I've come to believe and have for many years that failure is my best friend. And so, therefore, it's my failures, it's my losses that allow me to begin to learn and begin to grow and begin to change. And so what we would consider to be our worst experiences many times, those losses and failures, really become our best losses. And I've looked back now, I'm 66, Tim. I've looked back on my life, and I can tell you the adversity, the difficulties, the losses, they marked me and changed me. And my success is much more a result of those and what I learned from them than the successes that I've had in my life. So I know from personal experience, and I also know from relating and connecting with other people, that if we lose correctly, we're going to really succeed out of it. And the key is losing correctly.
Yeah.
The question is not, are we going to lose? I lose, you lose, Jim loses, everybody loses. I mean, we all fail, so issues. I love these people say, well, you know, don't fail or be careful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, don't lose. Tell a person not to breathe. I mean, we all lose. We all fail.
So the
issue is not that. When I lose, in the book, Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn, is all about the fact, the question is not did I lose? The question is, what did I learn from my losses? If I learn from my losses, then I'm going to grow from them.
Yeah.
The problem, Tim, is too many people, instead of hanging around their losses long enough to learn from them, they are so intimidated and fearful and insecure around their losses that they run from them. They leave them.
Yeah.
They get away from them. They say, oops, didn't happen to me. I wasn't there. You know, They leave the scene. And when you leave your losses and you ignore ignore them or deny them, what happens is you're just going to repeat them again.
Yeah, yeah. That's rich. As I'm listening to you talk, I'm thinking you have really become the ultimate pragmatist, because I know you don't like losing innately. You have shared with me over the years, you were very competitive. You played sports as a kid growing up. You love to win. You'll do any. In fact, I've competed against just in fun staff meetings, and you're competitive. But yet you're saying there's something even better, more significant than just winning. So what are some of the significant messages? You're laughing. What are some of the significant messages in this book that might not just be predictable? What were some of the discoveries that you share in Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Lose?
I'm laughing because we talk about my competitiveness. I can remember when I went back to my college and I played basketball. And so the old guys were playing the new guys. And, of course, there was no chance of being able to handle the new guy. I mean, they're smarter, younger, faster, quicker. So I just figured I was going to have to foul him. In the first quarter, I knocked him down twice. I mean, I didn't foul him. I maimed him.
Yeah.
I mean, I just and after the second time, he got up and he looked at me. He said, "Wow." He said, "You know, calm down here." He said, "You know, this is only a game." And I remember smiling and saying, "Well, then let me win."
Yeah.
You know, and which is just I just confess sin now in my competitiveness. But here, going to your question of some of the things I think that we out of the book really learn. One of the things I think is the fact that teachability. Mm. Is so essential to learning from your losses. Teachability is nothing more than wanting to learn.
Yeah.
And wanting to learn whether it's good, wanting to learn whether it's bad, just wanting to learn, having a real appetite to grow, to benefit from any experience that we've had. And I teach, of course, in the book that experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience mm-hmm. is the best teacher. If experience were the best teacher, Tim, then everybody that got older would get better. That's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know a lot of people getting older, but they're not getting better.
Yeah.
And it's because, not because they didn't have a lot of experiences. It's the fact they didn't learn from those experiences. And what I try to teach in the book is the fact that, that there is a learning out of losses that really helps us grow. And humility, the willingness and the ability to see ourselves not as we want people to see us, but to see ourselves as we are.
Wow.
And the ability to have a teachability in that process of wanting to not only see ourselves as we are, but to learn from the lessons that life has for us is so key to a person's success in life.
Yeah.
And again, the losses don't bother me, but the attitude of the losses or the attitude that some people have of not wanting to enter in the arena of action because they're afraid that they'll lose, that bothers me greatly.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you and I have talked about this before, and I want to go here now. You know, our organization, Growing Leaders, is all about really what you do, but for the next generation, for the students. I feel, John, that we are raising a generation of kids, not all of them, but many, who really don't buy into what you're saying. I just recently had a conversation with a soccer mom. Her little boy is 6 years old, and she said, "Tim, I've just resorted, since my son can't stand losing, to just always telling the game ended in a tie." And I thought, well, you know, that's solving a problem today. He doesn't go into a tirade, but it doesn't solve the problem over the long haul. He never really learns to deal with loss. He can't handle it. So what do you say to this? What do you say to a mom or a dad?
I would say to that mom, your little boy isn't going to have you with him all your life.
Yeah.
And so how long do you want to deceive him? How long do you want to put him into a bubble where you don't allow reality to get into his life? Let's face it. Scott Peck, many years ago, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, what he said, life is difficult.
Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, Paul Harvey said, you can tell you're on the road to success, it's uphill all the way. Well, what are these guys saying? They're saying that if you're going to do well in life, it takes a lot of effort, it takes a lot of energy. And you and I both know that we have some wins, but we have some losses, and the losses help ground us in reality. You know, what's Max DeBrie say? The first responsibility of the leader is to define reality. And I would tell that mother, the first responsibility of a mom is to define reality for your children.
Yeah.
That little guy needs to know he's not going to win all the time. He isn't.
Yeah.
When mom's gone, he's going to have somebody just really win.
Yeah.
And he's going to look at himself. And he's, you see, here, let me say this. Sheltering our children doesn't prepare them.
Yeah, right.
And I see so many times parents say, well, he or she's not ready for that yet, or I just don't want to expose them to that yet. And I understand a certain age appropriateness, but the point that I want everybody to understand is the fact your son's going to lose. So either you teach them how to lose correctly at home, or they'll go out and they'll lose incorrectly outside of the home. And what happens is when people haven't been taught to lose correctly, to fail correctly, they fail wrongly. You know, you've heard me say before that if I was a president of a university, the first course I would teach all incoming freshmen is failure 101.
Yeah.
And I'd sit down and say, let me explain something to you. You're going to fail a lot in life. So what we're going to do is teach you how to fail. And one of the things, Tim, I want to say to you and growing leaders, because you're exactly right, you do for the next generation, the younger generation, what I try to do for others, is how appreciative I am of not only the wonderful work that you do, but your commitment to the younger generation to help them learn from their losses. And many times, Tim, many, many, many times, because we go back together for, like you said, for 30-plus years, many, many times I look at you and I say to myself, I'm so glad that I poured myself into you, because you're going out and pouring yourself into others and going where I cannot go, doing what I cannot do. And it's a pretty nice picture of what also mentoring does to people when they pour themselves in. So what you do through Growing Leaders, Tim, is an incredible ministry. And I run into people all the time, who come up and talk about how you help them through your books and through your conferences. So I'm really proud of you, buddy. Really proud.
Well, thanks. But I tell you what, I've told you this before. I owe so much to the foundation. I've often gone back, what would John do in this situation? And again, getting back to this book, this is something I think you taught me. I don't know that I innately knew it. I think I grew up a very competitive person, and failure or loss became the enemy rather than a helper. So let's talk a little bit further, John, about this emerging generation. The numbers are in. We're always keeping our ear to the ground on the stats on this emerging generation. Today's students are loaded with potential, but they've demonstrated decreased levels of resilience, you know, just the ability to bounce back. It's as if they're saying, if I can't win, I don't even want to play the game. And I feel this is dangerous. Failure is feared. I just spoke to a student at a conference yesterday, and she came up in tears after the talk I gave and said, I'm so afraid of failing. Why is it important for us to turn this around? Talk about macro picture. Why must we turn this spirit around?
Well, it's essential, because I was recently in Austin, Texas, and I was dealing with, I had dinner one night with highly, highly successful people. And my book, Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn, was literally coming out that week. Huh. So I thought I would ask them this question, and the question was simply, in your success journey, what's the most important lesson that you learned? And I just said, hey, just give me the most important. It doesn't have to be brilliant. It just has to be what's most important in your life. Immediately, Tim, comments such as, failure is the pathway to success. Mm. You've got to learn how to deal with failure. You've got to understand that failure is not final.
Yeah.
And it just went around this room. It was as if I did a setup for the book. I wasn't trying to do a setup for the book.
Yeah.
What were these people telling me? Here's what they're telling me. You can't get to success without failure. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no person who has ever lived that has been highly successful that didn't have to solve problems, make changes in attitude, redirect their focus, and bounce back from devastating losses. There is no one. So when people say, I just don't want my children to lose, I want to be able to shield them from failure, what they're really doing is they're saying, I want my children never to have success.
Yeah.
And that's sad to me,
because
in the case of the very parent that's trying to shield their children from this, if they had an honest moment, they've had many failures in their life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's so surprising to me that parents who have had to work themselves through difficulties and adversity will look at their children and somehow think that they should spare their children from them And the longer we spare our children from adversity, the longer it's going to take for them to be prepared for reality.
Yeah. John, you're spot on. I mean, you're just, this is so simple and yet it's so profound. You're reminding me of a conversation I had with a very, very wealthy businessman who lives in LA. And he said, and by the way, he was an immigrant. He's a first generation guy in this country. It was one of those rags to riches story. You know, he comes over with $20 in his pocket, New York Harbor. He said, you know, I had to learn to lose, to fail. I had to learn a work ethic. It's all I had in my pocket was the work ethic. He said, I fear now that I've made it, my kids will never learn this because they don't have to. You know, it's, you have to have the emotional conversation. I can afford the iPhone, but I want you to work for it, or, you know, that sort of thing. And I know this sounds so old fashioned, but somehow we've got to find a way, if we're people of means, to still enable our kids to go through these struggles because they're essential.
We have to have honest moments. I don't mean this unkindly, but we're in an age today where everybody says, you know what I mean. I mean, we have a sense that if somebody has a little bit of money, that somehow they need to distribute that to people who don't. There's a sense of, well, let's have an even playing field. Let's make it fair for everybody. Life's not fair.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as an even playing field. If anybody believes there's an even playing field, they need to get on a plane with you or me and go to some third world developing country. There's no even playing field in life. But I can tell you what makes the playing field not even. And I'll tell you what makes the playing field not even fair. But what does make the playing field a place where you can be successful? And that is to embrace the reality of your losses and your shortcomings and take those and say, I will learn from them. I have never met a person who learned from a loss that regretted the loss.
Yeah, that's a great statement.
Never one time. But I've regretted some wins. I can remember John Wooden, who was a mentor of mine for so many years. I can remember Coach Sally one time came and said, as a coach, I've had times when we won a game when I walked off the court wishing we would have lost the game.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Because he said, I knew that the players would never learn. Yeah. They played sloppy.
Yeah.
They didn't deserve the win. They didn't have their heart in it, but they won. And he said, John, you can't go to the locker room and teach anything off the win.
That's so true. We think we did great. Yeah.
But if they would have lost, he said, if they lost the game, I could have walked in and I had their attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Teacher.
And I thought to myself, and I thought to myself, there are times in life that I have won that I shouldn't have won. And I didn't learn because of that. And so I've learned to continue to embrace losses and failures as a friend, because they really are.
Yeah.
In fact, once you can come to the place that losses and failures help you go forward with the right spirit and attitude, I can tell you, you don't dread them anymore.
Yeah.
You get in, you go into them, and what you do is you say, hey, I'm in another learning period in my life. Okay. Hey, it's time for to reset my attitude.
Yeah.
It's time for me to regrip and get a grip on my emotions. So once you begin to understand failure as it really is and how it will help you, or losses as they really are and how they will help you, then all of a sudden, you don't fear them anymore. They don't intimidate you. They don't have this, quote, power over you. Do you want to, quote, avoid them at all costs? Now you dive. You dive in. And in the whole process says, hey, I'm going to have some of these, but it's okay. I'm going to learn from them. I'm going to get better because of them.
Yeah, absolutely. John, in many ways, the word that keeps coming back to my mind as I hear you talk is the word resilience. I brought that up a minute ago. I see you as a tremendously resilient person, and it may be innate. I think you've always been an optimist, and you know we're gonna make it next time. But I want you to tell a story. You have often told a story about when you were growing up, you and your big brother Larry would wrestle, and you'd always lose. And your dad stepped in one day, and I want you to tell the story because he understood how to build a winner out of you, even in losing. But would you mind, you know what story I'm talking about?
Yeah, my dad, and this will be when I'm a 7, my brother's 2 years older than me, he'd be about 9. But I was kind of, you wouldn't know this now, Ted, but I was a very skinny, kind of scrawny little anemic kid. Hey, I've overcome all that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've overcome that. It's just, it's a gift. Some people
yes, don't know. Yes, yes, that's right.
So here, but my brother was muscular and husky. And
yeah.
He was big. He was bigger, much bigger than me. And we loved to wrestle. And so every night we'd, after dinner, we'd kind of move the couch and clear the living room and we'd go at it and we'd wrestle. My brother always won. He was bigger than I was. He was stronger than I was. But I just was so competitive. I wanted to keep challenging him, and which kind of, again, shows you my IQ. Always losing and wanting to do it again. That's kind of beyond the sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Hey, back then, I could have put sometimes you win. I just say all the time you lose.
Yeah.
So, and my dad would come in and watch us and sometimes referee. And one night at the dinner table, Larry was talking about wrestling with me, and Dad says, you know what, Larry, you're not going to wrestle with John this week. I'm going to. And I remember just looking at my dad, who's much bigger than Larry. I'm thinking, oh, my, this is not going to be a good thing. I mean, my brother can win, and certainly my dad's going to beat me pretty bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, surprise, we went out there and we wrestled for 30 minutes on the floor, rolled around, and surprise, after much effort, I pinned my father. And I'll never forget how I felt that day. I never will forget. And I'll never forget the look on Larry's face. He was so disgusted.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he said, well, let me wrestle with him. My dad said, no, I'm going to wrestle with him this week. And every night my dad wrestled with me. And every night, after much effort, I won. And the next week, Dad looked at Larry and said, okay, tonight you can wrestle with John. Well, I could hardly wait to wrestle with my brother. And I mean, Tim here is a 7-year-old kid. I'm thinking, wow, if I could wrestle my dad and pin him,
yeah, sure,
I can do this with my brother. And I didn't pin my brother that night. But what's more significant than that is he didn't pin me either.
Yeah, yeah.
And never again was he able to pin me.
Huh.
And it was a phenomenal lesson my father taught me, and the fact of he created an environment for me to believe in myself. He didn't take away the losses.
Yeah.
He just recreated an environment where I could win. And I think a lot of times we're so paranoid about failure and the losses that we say, well, let me create an environment where there is no loss.
Yeah.
Well, that's an impossible environment. Why don't you instead create an environment where, A, you learn from the losses, and, B, you allow your children a chance to win.
Yeah.
That's what we want to have.
Well, and John, I'm even, he taught you the value of the struggle. He didn't make it easy. You had to fight. But the value of the struggle is something I see that's diminishing, that I want, whether they're teachers listening or coaches or youth workers or deans or whatever, we've got to teach the value of the struggle. So here's my big question for you. You are a resilient person, whether you learned it then at 7 or you just had it innately. Is there any way you could unpack for just a moment, how do you build resiliency? How did you get it over time? What would you say?
Well, number one, resilience begins with the fact of understanding that you lose.
Yeah, okay.
Disappointment is the gap between expectation and reality.
Yeah, that's good.
So what happens is when people are disappointed, it's because they expected something much more than what they received.
Yeah.
And I talk to people all the time. I say, you don't want to go through life disappointed. What do I mean by that? You gotta close that gap between what you expect and what is real. And so I think resiliency begins with just the statement, I'm going to have losses in my life. I'm not always going to win. I'm going to sometimes leave the table with the short end of the stick. I'm just not going to always win. So it starts there. Because if it doesn't start there, and I think I should win or I expect to win every time, then disappointment is going to just hit me right in the gut.
Yeah, it's going to overcome you.
There's no resilience with disappointment.
Yeah.
You're just trying to recover emotionally. So the first thing on resilience is just plain understand that you're going to have some losses. The second thing to understand is the fact that there's not a problem that's not solvable. There's not a loss that's not redeemable.
Good.
So you look at whatever happened bad to you, and it's not final. It's not like, okay, I'm set for life to never succeed.
Yeah.
It just meant that I didn't succeed today. So you have a reality, and then you begin to, within your losses, begin to believe and have some hope the moment that I began to get resilience. Yeah. Resilience doesn't come with reality. Resilience comes with hope.
Good.
But reality is the foundation of resilience. So I've got to have the reality, and then I get the hope.
Yeah.
Now, when I have the hope, this is what causes me to get back up.
Yep.
This is what caused me to try again. This is what caused me to kind of say, well, I think I lost last time, but I think I could maybe be better for trying it again. So you want to have hope. Now, I tell people all the time, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah.
So hope will help you as far as getting back up, but it won't keep you up.
Yeah.
Once you have hope in your life, now you've got to couple it or add to it a sense of strategy of what am I going to learn from this?
Yeah.
How do I benefit from this? What did in my loss do I need to change in my life? And so now you start to be reflective and develop a strategy which allows you to begin to not only regroup emotionally, but I always say you regroup emotionally to get back into reaction, but you better regroup mentally to know what to do.
Yeah.
And so now I'm regrouping mentally, and I'm saying, okay, here's what I did wrong, this is what I need to change. And it's only after I've done that that I now probably have the right to get back into the arena. So I get back into the arena. And what I always tell myself many times is I have to kind of lose myself forward, or I have to fail myself forward, which means one of the mistakes we make is we think that the first loss should be our only loss. So we say, okay, well, I should do this different. So we go back in the arena and think, wow, this time I'll win. I go back and I say, I think I can win this time, but here's what I know. I'm not going to lose as bad as I did last time.
Good.
So I lose my way forward inch by inch. I fail my way forward inch by inch, because what I understand is winning is a process.
Yeah, it really is.
And so I don't try to take shortcuts. I don't try to have somebody do something for me that I don't deserve. I re-enter. And I basically look at progress as, you know, like Booker T. Washington say, success is not where you are. Success is what you had to go through to get where you are. And I think that that's all. That's what the theme of sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. It's not have you won yet. The question is, are you on the way toward winning? Are you are you losing your way toward winning?
Love it.
And if the answer is yes, the losses are less. The losses are farther apart, and one day that loss will be over.
Yeah,
and you will win.
Yeah, after the process, I love it.
Yep,
John, this is so rich to be with you. Thank you for taking some time and talking with us today. The book is Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn. It's so you. You've lived this out, and I appreciate you taking some time, particularly to apply it to the next generation. I love you, my friend and mentor, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, I love you too, Tim, and thanks for letting me share with all of your audience, and keep doing the good work, my dear friend. Keep it up. I'm proud of you, and let's change lives one at a time and make that difference that we want to make. Have a good one.
Great, you too.
What a privilege it was to have John Maxwell join us today, where he got to talk about resilience in a leader, whether it's in a personal life or in a business setting, just building that resilience by learning through those different experiences through losing. As John Wooden said, you know, there are times where he couldn't teach his basketball team when they won because they weren't in a position that they were ready to learn. So like Tim said, his book was called Sometimes You Win, Sometimes You Learn. And you can go pick up a copy on Amazon. But also, we have got two new Habitudes resources that have come out. We've updated our book one. It's hard to believe, but Growing Leaders is now 10 years old. And we have gone back through. The images are the same, but the stories and the lessons throughout have been updated. And so we love for you to pick up an updated copy of that. And then back on December 31st, Tim wrote a blog called The One Thing I Do at the End of Each Year. And he takes a half a day to reflect back on 2013. And he's got 9 different steps. One of them was, what were his fondest memories of 2013? What were the big projects that he completed that year? But one of the ones that stuck out to me was, what did he procrastinate on and fail to get done? And that's just a time that we can look back on the year, look at ways that we wanted to grow and we may not have, But just kind of building that resilience as we look at 2014, taking those lessons that we learned and using that in building momentum in our lives. So until next time, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Growing Leaders Podcast.